20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hey friends, welcome into an all new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Always appreciate you taking the time to join us here. We've got you covered 365 days a year. Every single day, no matter what, we'll be here for you covering the Green Bay Packers, and we appreciate you guys checking it out. Shout out, by the way, to KPT and Andrew Rank for becoming brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. Appreciate you guys a ton. If you haven't checked out those memberships yet, make sure to do so. If you'd be so kind, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, and give those five-star reviews. Those things help the channel a ton. Before we get into our grades, and yes, I know we are a day before the next game, and sometimes getting to grades from the previous game, the day before the next game, feels a little bit whatever, and I get also the fact that this is not a game that people want to remember all that fondly and go back and listen about, so I extra appreciate you guys being here today. I think it's always fun diving in. I could have got the grades to you sooner. I certainly would have done so, but with the game being on a Monday, it did take me a little bit longer to get there, but we're here, and we're going to go through them nonetheless, so again, appreciate you guys being here. Before we get there, injury report for both teams. Packers, mark it down. Put it on the calendar, circle it, be excited. The Packers have a shorter injury list than the opposing team. We did it. We made it. Nate Hobbs is the only Packer who is for sure out for this game. Meanwhile, Matthew Golden, LVN, and Savion Williams are all questionable. Savion, Matthew Golden practiced through the course of the week. LVN practiced the last couple days. I think LVN's a true questionable here. I would expect Golden and Savion to play. I think Savion's basically like probable at this point. Golden, maybe a slight question mark, but I would expect him to. More of a question of how many snaps does he play? And I think really the only one you kind of have to keep an eye on when it comes to the inactives is probably LVN. I lean towards him not playing, but we'll have to kind of wait and see. If they could get him back, that'd be huge. But probably, I mean, you can't take anything for granted at this point. You got to go out and try to win this game. So if he can play, let him play. But in an ideal world, you'd probably like to keep him maybe out one more week, get him ready for Minnesota at home. But again, they don't exactly have that luxury at this point in time. Meanwhile, for the New York Football Giants, out is their starting quarterback, Jackson Dart. Chauncey Golston, Evan Neal, their starting and best wide receiver left after Malik Nabers is out, Darius Slayton, and Kayvon Thibodeau, one of their primary defensive linemen. Doubtful, Raheem Nunez-Roches, who's a nice rotational defensive tackle, and Tyler Newbin, their safety. Nunez-Roches and Tyler Newbin are doubtful. Paulson Adebo and Bobby Okereke, starting corner and linebacker respectively, are questionable. And that, again, doesn't even include Cam Scataboo, their best running back, Malik Nabers, their best offensive weapon, and Graham Gano, their kicker, who are on injured reserve already. To say the New York Giants are a little bit beat up would be a drastic understatement. The Giants have lost 4 in a row. They fired their coach this week. They're literally on their number 3 quarterback. They're missing their top 2 wide receivers. They're missing their number 1 running back. They're missing one of their key ingredients on their defensive line. They are missing their kicker. They are in a bad place. Go get the win. I am begging you, Packers, for all things holy, go get a win in New York. And if not, just maybe stay in New York for a week or something, because it's not going to be too friendly in the confines of Green Bay if you can't find a way to win this game. This is going to be, it's not a must win, but holy cow, it feels like a must win for Green Bay. Cannot go into New York with a team that's lost 4 in a row, fired their coach, and this many injuries, and go lay an egg and lose their 3rd in a row. Would be as bad as it gets. So can't have it happen. Hopefully Green Bay goes in and takes care of business, but a lengthy injury report for the New York Giants. Next, let's get to our Schreiber, what's on the horizon. I'm looking at playoffs, and I know there's a little bit of Jim Mora to this. Playoffs? I'm going to talk playoffs? The New York Times, who I think does an incredible job with their playoff simulator and going through all the different games and what they mean and everything like that, they're updated. So I wanted to take a look at it really quick. They list the Packers currently at 75% chance to make the playoffs. Okay. Not where I would like it to be, but okay. They are at a 28% chance to win the division. That seems low. That seems very low to me, but I am in no place to complain because the Packers have lost 2 in a row and have lost games to the Carolina Panthers and the Cleveland Browns. And so, yeah, I guess I kind of get it. They have a 1% chance to get the number one seed in that first round bye. That's exactly not where we want that to be. And it would probably take like maybe what, one loss the rest of the season, maybe two, but it would be tough for Green Bay. Probably one loss the rest of the season. So I can understand that one a little bit more. If they win this week against New York, they are listed as an 80% chance to make the playoffs. So that goes up 5%. A 32% chance to win the division, that goes up 4%. And a 2% chance to get the one seed, that goes up 1%. If they were to lose this week to the Giants, they go down to a 59% chance to make the playoffs, only a 15% chance to win the division, and less than a 1% chance to get the number one seed. So an important game for Green Bay to get. They drop 21% from 80% if they win to 59% if they lose to make the playoffs, 17% to win the division, and drop basically less or more, a little bit more than 1% to actually get the number one seed. Go get this win, Green Bay. Go get this win. By the way, per the New York Times simulator, beating the Lions on Thanksgiving is their biggest game that they can win, which just that game alone, winning that game would bump them up to an 88% chance to make the playoffs. Losing to Chicago at home would be the most devastating for their playoff odds per the New York Times, bumping them down with a loss to that Chicago in Green Bay to just a 53% chance to make the playoffs. So you really want to beat Chicago at home and you really want to beat Detroit on the road. Those might be the two biggest games remaining for the Packers, at least based on the New York Times playoff simulator, which is really fun to play around with and mess around with. All right, let's now get into our film and grades for this week. Let's do our film takeaways first, and then we'll get into the grades. Only a couple small ones here. Talked a little bit about this on Happy Hour the other day. A lot of times when the film or when the game goes amazing, you watch the film and you're like, it was good, but maybe not quite as amazing as I thought in real time. A lot of times when the game goes poorly, you rewatch the film and you're like, it was bad, but maybe not as bad as I thought it was in real time. I think the offensive film in this game might have actually been worse. This one gave me some real cause for concern. The reason that is because there's not easy fixes here. We've talked about it all week. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom here. I think they will get this figured out and sorted out, and I think they'll start playing better football. I really do. Some of the play on the offensive line, which we've talked about ad nauseum, is really bad. The technique, the fundamentals, it doesn't look right now. They don't look like a cohesive unit whatsoever. And then some of the stuff on the far end of just the route running, the precision, the attention to detail, that just looks off as well. And the tight end position is barren without Tucker Kraft. You're not getting much out of that. And Josh Jacobs just can't do much with the blocking that you're getting up front. I stopped and thought about this, and I looked at my grades on the season so far. And on the offensive side of the ball, where they're usually, that's kind of their bread and butter, right? I have four players. Actually, I take that back. I have three players with a grade of 2 or better, maybe meaning a plus 2.00 or better. Three players. Jordan Love, Tucker Kraft, and Josh Jacobs. And Tucker Kraft is out for the year. My next highest graded player is a plus 1.85. And that's Matthew Golden, who I continue to think is playing well, but just not getting the opportunities he needs to take advantage of the way that he's playing. And of course, last week he was out. My next highest graded player is below 1, and he's only been back for a couple weeks, and that's Christian Watson. Long story short, this team just doesn't have the high-end play right now from individual players that you would expect. Jordan's playing well. We'll talk about his game in just a moment. Josh Jacobs is playing well. Tucker Kraft was playing awesome. I think Matthew Golden and Christian Watson are both going to have a lot to offer to this team now that Watson's back and once Golden hopefully gets back this week. But that's not good enough. They are going to need some players to step up. And my five lowest graded players on offense, Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, Elgton Jenkins, who is now out for the year, Darian Kennard, and Jordan Morgan. Notice a trend? All on the offensive line. That offensive line's got to find a way to play better. They need more from this team. Golden and Watson are going to have to uplift this wide receiver group. They're going to have to probably go less tight end. I know adding a sixth offensive line when you don't have five great offensive linemen is maybe tough, but they might have to go with that. I don't know. There's some cause for concern on the offensive side of the ball, and I think we've seen that play out over the course of the last couple of weeks. On the defense, this was an interesting game. You hold the team to 10 points, you get a big turnover. I would have expected some pretty massive grades in this one. We did have one player who was graded over one. We'll talk about him momentarily. But even PFF and I were pretty aligned this week on some of our grades, or just not having a lot of huge grades for the defense. A couple good ones, but not a lot of huge ones. So I thought about that. Like, why is that? Why did the defense play so well, but the grades didn't really match it? I think it's always fun dissecting that. The first thing I want to say, and if you're a New York Giants executive, turn it off, please, right now. Jeff Hafley was awesome in this game. I thought he was fantastic in calling this game. I really do. I thought he put his players in position to succeed and had kind of the Eagles figured out, where he kind of did a little bit of the heavy lifting in this game. The second thing I will say, which is a credit to Jeff Hafley, as well as the defenders, there weren't a ton of amazing individual moments in this game. The Edgerrin Cooper forced fumble was one of them. There were a couple pass breakups, no sacks, minimal tackles for loss, right? There weren't many big time individual plays. Collectively, as a team, I thought this is one of the better games of team defense that I've seen from the Green Bay Packers. Everyone wasn't in it for themselves to make the big play by themselves. Everyone was legitimately doing their 111th, rallying to the football, playing their gap, knowing their assignment, and taking care of their business. And because of that, you ended up with players who maybe weren't shedding a block and making a block or making a tackle 5 yards in the backfield, but they were holding up their assignment. They were sticking with their gap, and they weren't allowing Saquon Barkley any escape route. I love the way that the defense played. The grades aren't going to entirely reflect how good the defense played, because it was a lot of what I would say is collective team defense. And again, a really smart game plan and execution from Jeff Hafley. So kudos to the defense overall. And I think that's one of the hardest things to do, is just get a defense to play unselfishly and say, hey, we need to do this all together. And it's going to take us all doing our part to play this brand of football. And if one of those pieces falls apart, it's House of Cards Fest. You know, you now have an issue. You now have a point that the opposing team can attack, and they're going to keep hitting that. And I thought everyone just held up well and did exactly what they were supposed to do far more often than not, with very few, you know, sort of, they didn't skip a beat almost the entirety of the game. So kudos to Jeff Hafley and kudos to the team for playing a very strong brand of team defense. We'll be right back. Hey friends, today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now the weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never ever gets old. So keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now it's time to start getting ready for week 11. Yes, week 11, where does the time go? As Green Bay travels to New York, and a chance for Green Bay to show they can actually beat a bad team. This needs to be a big win for Green Bay, and I'm going with Jordan Love to have a starring performance to help get that big road win. Elsewhere in week 11, I'm going with big games from Ja'Marr Chase, Patrick Mahomes, and George Pickens. And here's the best part. Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. And even better, how you play is completely up to you. If you want flexibility, choose Flex Play, where you can get paid even if one of your picks misses. And if you want the bigger payouts, go to the Power Play. No matter how you play, Prize Picks is a great way to put your takes to the test. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. I'm not sure about you guys, but it's a season for hosting a lot of holiday dinners, get-togethers, and big events, and all of that planning, cooking, and shopping can take a huge extra toll on my stress levels when there's already so much going on. That's why I leave the stress behind and rely on Omaha Steaks to help me prepare amazing meals for all of my family and friends this holiday season. And not to spoil some gifts for family members who may be listening, but I've definitely been picking up some Omaha Steaks as gifts, which makes holiday shopping super simple as well. The best part is that you can benefit with their Sizzle All The Way sale, which you can get 50% off. Yes, 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, listeners get an extra $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. I'm actually hosting a birthday get-together this week, and the freezer is stocked with amazing steaks and burgers from Omaha, which is making things super simple to prepare and plan for. And if you haven't tried the food yet, it's beyond incredible. I can't recommend it enough. I especially want to shout out their grass-fed, grain-finished beef that has more marbling for exceptional flavor. Now, Omaha Steaks is a family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. So don't miss out on this deal and save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com with code PACKADAY. All right, let's get to those grades. Start with offense. Top three grades on offense. If the highest graded player on offense is a plus 0.3, I can pretty much tell you the Packers probably lost that game, or they won a very low scoring affair. That almost is what happened, right? They at least stuck with this team because of the Packers defense. Not a great day for the offense. Josh Jacobs was highest at plus 0.3, and he was not without fault in this game. There were a couple of times where, you know, I thought from a route running standpoint, it wasn't maybe where he was supposed to be. And then I also thought there was one play in pass pro where he got absolutely nuked on the play. There was some stuff from Josh Jacobs that he could clean up too in this game. I thought he ran incredibly hard. Again, the touchdown run is such a great example of this, where that play's going nowhere and he just drags defenders, you know, 4 yards into the end zone. I just continue to be impressed that he is getting almost anything on some of these runs and taking it for positive yardage. There are so many plays where guys are just exploding into the backfield and he's still finding ways to get positive yardage out of it. I know it's not the sexiest thing in the world, you know, getting the 3-4 yards at a crack that Josh Jacobs is getting right now. Just know he's working his ass off for those 3 to 4 yards in every single game that he's getting on every single one of those carries. And it's extremely few and far between where you ever see him make a wrong read or go to the wrong gap. Speaking of which, there was some conversation online of that fourth down play at the end of like, oh, if Josh Jacobs just would have cut it back to the other side, there would have been space there. I posted this a couple days before, and then I know I saw John Kuhn post it recently as well. Watch the defensive tackle. Defensive tackle flashes, and that's who Josh Jacobs is reading on that play. Defensive tackle flashes one way to the left side, and then you have Jacobs read that. He can't get to that side, so he cuts it back the other way. We did hear from him afterwards as well that he was nervous based on the fact of the team calling out exactly what they were going to do, but he read it right anyway. So no issue there with Josh Jacobs. Overall, thought it was a solid game, not Josh Jacobs' best performance by any stretch of the imagination. That's kind of the day that it was for the offense. Even a slightly below average Josh Jacobs day was the best day for best grade on the day for Green Bay. Number two, Christian Watson, plus 0.2. He had the beautiful play down the field that got called back due to the penalty. He had that great catch over the middle. One of the negatives, of course, was the play where he went to play defensive back rather than going up and catching the ball. Christian himself said on social media this week that he should have went up and tried to play the ball instead. I'll be honest. In real time, as I was up in the press box kind of watching that play, I saw kind of the same thing he did. I'm like, oh, this is going to the defender. He's going to have to play defense here. And I don't know if it just hung up in the wind enough or whatever happened, but by the time it got to the end, if he just plays that ball, you might have a big Christian Watson play. I did see in real time, or at least I kind of saw it the way he did, the trajectory of it and the defender getting ready to go up and make an interception, but you end up hitting him in the helmet and he probably could have turned around and made that catch, right? So that's one he'd like to have back. And then I thought there were a couple of plays he just struggled to get off routes a little bit, but or off of coverage a little bit, but the Eagles did a good job covering in this game. Overall, solid, slight positive performance for Christian Watson. And then the big one we're going to probably want to spend the most time talking about is Jordan Love. Still in the positive, plus 0.15. PFF had a very similar grade. I think they had him as their fourth highest offensive player. I had him as third, and we were, again, very similarly aligned. I had a plus 0.15. They had him in the 60s, which is above, like, just slightly above average, which is where I had him as well. I'll say this. If I were to lean one way and say, like, if I had to change the grade one way or the other, I would probably lean higher rather than lower. Was this Jordan's best game? No. Did he try to do too much when he fumbled the ball and lost the ball in a key situation? Absolutely. Big negative on that play. Did he try to do too much and take a sack on a play that, you know, when they were in opposing team's territory and he could have lived to see another down? Yeah, he did. That was a really bad play. Big negative on that play. I also thought he had some big time throws, that one to Christian Watson that we talked about earlier, that was complete over the middle. Some of his other bad plays, you know, I know people were talking about, you know, on the late throw, the deep one to Christian to try to get, you know, with no time left in the game, could have led him more to the sideline, or maybe could have, I think it was Wicks that was coming over the middle, maybe could have hit him instead. So either lineman or linebacker right in his face. Makes it a little bit difficult to either see that receiver or to get the ball where it needs to be. Thought the line affected him maybe a little bit more than it needed to at times. There was one play where he was going to have a receiver coming open over the middle, and he dropped his eyes and took off and scrambled again, didn't get a ton of yardage out of him or out of the play. It was either Dobbs, I think, or Watson on that particular throw. There's another play earlier in the game where I thought Watson over the middle was open, probably could have hit it. There's a play early, I think on the one he takes a sack where Dobbs is going to come over on the sideline or like the corner route. You know, probably needed to stay on that read a little bit longer in that situation. Easy for me to say watching it afterwards. I also thought a lot of his really good plays were kind of counterfeit in this game. The deep play to Watson that got called back due to the penalty, that was a really beautiful throw. He had to throw an anticipation throw to Romeo Dobbs that it was a tough catch by Romeo. It would have been a tough catch for Romeo, but goes right off his hands. Jordan could not have thrown that to a better spot where only Romeo could have got it and really kind of threw him open on that play. Threw not a perfect ball, but a catchable ball to Dontavian Wicks, which would have gone for a big first down. Wicks drops that one. Bo Melton, key fourth down, need to come up clutch. Jordan finds his receiver, delivers on target, accurate. Bo Melton drops it. So if you kind of take this game and factor in some of the plays that he made that don't show up in the box score, that you know he's not getting credit for because they were either dropped or, again, it was called back due to penalty, that I think is a part of the reason why the grade looks a little bit better than the box score, the stat line. A plus 0.15 quarterback, if you're saying, oh, you're just being a love apologist, a plus 0.15 grade for a quarterback is not a great day. All right, it's fine. It's probably a losing performance more often than not. Still thought it was slightly more good plays than bad plays in this one, but it also probably is not a great, you know, winning performance. So just kind of know that as well. But I think that the key takeaway there is probably not quite as bad as maybe some people are making it out to be, or maybe what it seemed in real time, but still some things clearly for Jordan to work on, play better. But if his teammates help him out, the day probably looks a whole heck of a lot better as well. Bottom three on offense. It will surprise none of you to hear that Aaron Banks was my lowest graded offensive player in this game. You guys know I don't want to say defended him, but I've kind of said like, hey, I don't think it's been as bad for Aaron Banks as some of you guys are making that out to be. The first game was for him. He was clearly banged up, not himself. Then I thought he settled in. Worth the contract the way he was playing? No, absolutely not. But solid, like a solid offensive lineman. Not bad, not good, just solid. And guess what? You can always use solid offensive linemen. And then this week came along and he decided to not be a solid offensive lineman and was really, really poor in this game. Run blocking, immediate pressures, inconsistent. I mean, you name it. We saw all of it from Aaron Banks this week. I know he was dealing with some injury stuff going into the week. I'm not sure if he just didn't get much practice time or wasn't feeling 100% healthy or what it was, but that to me was clearly the worst Aaron Banks game that we've seen so far. And a really tough game for a very big free agent signing by the Packers. He's got to play better. He has to play better. That's a brutal performance for a guy that you give that contract to. I'm not quite in Joe Johnson territory yet, but if he plays like that consistently, that's Joe Johnson territory. The former Packer, not the former NBA player, for those of you who don't remember way back then. Yeah. Need more from Aaron Banks. Again, easily my lowest graded offensive player in this game. Number two, I thought this was a really tough game for Romeo Dobbs. He could not get off coverage for the vast majority of the day. I did not think his route running was crisp. Had a couple, at least that one opportunity where it glanced off his hands. Would have been a tough catch. Would have been a very difficult catch, but it was there for him. Didn't make that one. Didn't really do anything, you know, when he did get the ball. And I thought he struggled in run blocking as well. Just an off day from Romeo all the way around. Catching, blocking, route running. Just thought he struggled in this one. And then, of course, Bo Melton, negative 0.45 grade, my third lowest graded player on offense. You had the illegal alignment, you had, which, you know, forced a big play to come back, the one to Christian Watson. You had a huge drop on fourth down. I mean, both of those probably took points off the board. Those are really brutal plays. I did think he blocked really well when he was out there. And I did think that, you know, on the day, you know, he did have another catch out there. I think it was at least one catch. I can't remember if he had more than that, but he had at least one catch on the day. But two really big negatives with that drop and with the illegal procedure penalty, which again, probably took points off the board in both of those situations. So third lowest graded player on offense, Bo Melton. Some miscellaneous offensive performances. Dontayvion Wicks plus 0.05, had a late procedural penalty and then had a drop as well. I thought up until that point, he looked really good. There was some really positive stuff I saw from Wicks. I came away encouraged by Dontayvion Wicks from this game, even if it was only a plus 0.05 grade. The tight ends combined for a negative 0.5 grade. Fitzpatrick was the big one, negative 0.4. Musgrave, negative 0.15. Which means Josh Wiley, of course, was plus 0.05. Work to do. It feels nowhere near the same without Tucker Kraft. Musgrave was okay at times. No run after the catch ability. He's an okay receiver. He had some really bad blocking. And then I thought Fitzpatrick struggled in blocking. You know, he's the unquestioned number two now. He's going to have to step up too. It was just brutal to watch with no Tucker Kraft, who is just, again, such an integral piece to this offense that they're now missing for the rest of this year. Elgton Jenkins and Sean Ryan. Jenkins ended, and unfortunately, what's probably going to be his last game of the year and potentially his last game as a Packer, but he had a plus 0.05, so it was fine. Thought it was a solid performance overall from him before leaving. When Sean Ryan replaced him, Sean Ryan left the game with a plus 0.05 grade. So they were apples to apples. I liked some of the stuff I saw from Sean Ryan, though. It gave me confidence that he can play center. The physical side of it looks good. I am going to be interested to see if I'm the Giants, I'm bringing some double A gaps. I'm bringing some twists and stunts at him. I'm going to see how he responds to that, how he makes the checks at the line and those sort of things. That's what I'm a little bit more interested in. But I thought physically, now he blocked, I thought Sean Ryan looked like a pretty natural fit in his first game, at least in any real capacity at center. Let's see. The other one was Jordan Morgan, negative 0.35. It's been a struggle for Jordan Morgan, my lowest graded offensive player on the year so far. I think my lowest graded player on the year so far. And it's not going great. I will say this. He is a little bit perplexing. I watch him at times and I kind of just expect to be like, I'm not going to enjoy this experience. There's actually a decent amount of plays out there. You're like, oh, that looked good. Why? Just do that more. And then you get to, you know, a couple of plays where he allows an immediate pressure, can't move anyone in the run game. You're like, ugh. Just so frustrating. I'm kind of the opinion that Darian Kennard, or maybe give somebody else a chance at this point. I don't think it was quite that bad to get to that point, but it's still not good enough. Again, a negative 0.35 for Morgan. They're going to need him, especially now with Elgton Jenkins out, Ryan moving to center. Probably no more rotation. They're going to need him at right guard, and they're going to need him to live up to that first round standing, hopefully sooner rather than later. We'll be right back. Anybody else feeling the financial squeeze right now? Everything just feels a little bit tougher, and I, for one, don't have the time to constantly monitor my finances and see where every little dollar and cent is being allocated. Thankfully, Chime understands that every dollar counts. That's why when you set up direct deposit through Chime, you can get access to fee-free features like free overdraft coverage, getting paid up to 2 days early, and so much more. I highly encourage that you take the time to learn more over at chime.com/packaday. Not only do we use Chime as a family, but I know multiple friends who use Chime and swear by it as well. The early payments, the free overdraft coverage, and access to over 47,000 free ATMs have not only been beneficial, but have come in huge in some really difficult situations. I didn't even mention the ability to get daily balance updates and real-time transaction alerts, which have helped shape our spending habits. So work on your financial goals through Chime today. Open an account in 2 minutes at chime.com/packaday. That's chime.com/packaday. Chime. feels like progress.
Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Timing depends on submission of payment file. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs. Bank ranking and number of ATMs according to U.S. News and World Report 2023. Chime checking account required.
All right, let's get to the defensive side of the ball. Edgerrin Cooper, plus 1.00 grade. Obviously, the big force fumble was a key piece of that, but I thought he rallied to the football all day. Super fast per usual, sideline to sideline, doing all his normal Edgerrin Cooper stuff. But the force fumble was the big piece. Thought he covered well. A couple of plays he could have probably gotten off blocks a little bit better, but just another really, really solid day from Edgerrin Cooper. Next up, Evan Williams. I cannot stress to you enough how much I enjoy watching Evan Williams play football. There were two rough plays in this game. Pass interference penalty and gave up the touchdown. I think probably could have used a little bit of help from his teammates on that touchdown. I'll just put it that way. But he was still in a position to maybe make the play on it. Thought he could have potentially done a little bit better there. Go and watch. Nobody's going to want to do this. I get it. I don't blame any of you. If you want to watch this game over, especially on the defense is okay. It's good to watch, right? Watch how many times Evan Williams ends up involved in the play. It is remarkable. He is at everything. Whether he's rallying to the football and getting into it at the end, whether he's shooting up from safety and going and making a play. In some cases, he's pass interfering or allowing a touchdown. There's that part of it too. He is all over the tape. And I mean all over the tape. He wants to be involved in every single play. I love that from a safety. In fact, it might be the most hungry that I've seen like a Packer safety. Nick Collins had that for sure. But I'm sure there's probably others. It's not meant to be disparaging towards anyone else. It's just he wants to be around the football. He wants to make plays and he wants to help out in any way he can. It almost seems like it's painful to him if he's not around to be able to be involved in the play. And man, if everyone played with that mentality, it's so fun to watch him. So he shot up and made multiple plays in the backfield on Saquon Barkley, filled his gap. Was not hesitant at all, made an immediate read and then, you know, diagnosed it and then, you know, got to his point where he needed to be immediately. I just loved every second of it. I love the way that he played. I love how active he was. It's just a joy to watch him. If you get a chance, highly recommend doing it. He was all over the place and I just loved and appreciated the effort he put into this one. And then Keyshawn Nixon, plus 0.5. Fumble recovery with a pretty nice return. That's nice. Had a nice pass breakup over the middle. Had good coverage through the majority of the day. He was actually trending towards a really great game and then had that, what, third and 10, third and 12 that he gave up the completion on the right-hand side towards the end of the game. Outside of that, really kind of that one play, tackled well, rallied to the football, covered well, fumble recovery. He kind of did it all. So another solid game for Keyshawn Nixon. Still a slight negative on the year, but he's not a huge problem for them at the moment. Again, probably not what you want as your number one corner, but I like this game from Keyshawn Nixon overall. Lowest three graded players, Rashawn Gary, negative 0.5. It's a tough one. You're going against Jordan Mailata. In my opinion, top two or three left tackle in all of football. You can put him in the conversation for one if you want. Gary struggled with that, and I thought Mailata got the best of him. A couple solid plays in run defense. Didn't really do much as a pass rusher in this one. Isaiah McDuffie, negative 0.45. Thought he just got outflanked too much in this one. A couple plays where they kind of used his over-exuberance against him and kind of outflanked him to the outside. I've been really a fan of what McDuffie's done so far this year. I thought this was his toughest game, and I thought he just needed to be a little bit more sound in his reads and maybe not pursuing things so aggressively where he kind of leaves something open on the backside. And then Carl Brooks, negative 0.4. It's been a bit of a struggle for Brooks. Can't really get much going as a pass rusher and is just okay as a run defender. He works hard at it, which I really appreciate it, you know, but he just doesn't have that big end, you know, bulk or size or strength. He's battling. I will give him that, but no major plays and some plays where he got pushed off the ball ends up in a negative 0.4. Some miscellaneous defenders, Devontae Wyatt, negative 0.2. Thought he had a really rough first half. Thought he was much better in the second half. Hopefully that second half is a sign of things to come. Colby Wooden, plus 0.45. I love watching Colby Wooden play football. Just grinding, just absolutely grinding at defensive tackle, stacking people, making plays, never giving up. He's a good football player. Green Bay's lucky that he stepped up the way that he has on that defensive line. Really love watching him play. Another solid performance from Colby Wooden. Micah Parsons, negative 0.2, his very first negative graded game as a Green Bay Packer. This has, you know, some Lane Johnson, although Johnson did go out for a piece of this, but more to do with Philly just really taking him out of the game. Thought he over-pursued a couple times. Didn't get a ton of pressure in this game. I thought Philly had a great game plan for him. This is less to do with Micah, the defender, and more to do with the Eagles and how they've got great tackles and did an unbelievable job making sure that Micah wasn't going to beat them. But if you have a couple plays where you get knocked to the ground or can't make a play, there's going to be some slight negatives in there. And when you don't get the opportunity to get the positives because they're so focused in on making sure that you're the one that doesn't beat them, it makes it tough to get a positive grade. I think he was bad. No, he was same as you usually is, with the same effort and intensity. Just didn't get much opportunity to be as disruptive as I'm sure he would have liked to have been in this game. Baron Sorrell plus 0.15. Nice game from Baron Sorrell. That's a positive grade, especially going against some good offensive tackles in this game. Some positive signs when Sorrell gets out there. This is another great example of that. Carrington Valentine plus 0.25. I thought he had really nice coverage throughout the day. Couple plays he would have liked to have had back, but good day. He had the big negative was the one in the open field with Saquon Barkley. I mean, what, 10% of corners even get a hand on Saquon Barkley in that situation, or maybe less that get him to the ground. But I like the day from Carrington Valentine. Good day for the corners. Devontae Smith and AJ Brown were not the reason that the Packers lost this game. They did their job. That was a solid performance from both those starting corners. And then Xavier McKinney plus 0.45. Loved how he played this game. He continues to play really good football. Even if it doesn't show up in the stat sheet a ton, right place, right time, covered his gaps, got up and played aggressive run defense, was exactly where he was needed to be in coverage, just did it all. It doesn't show up and you don't see it usually on the game copy because he's so far back playing safety so much, but really impressive day from Xavier McKinney. Continues to play really, really good football. All right. Recapping it, top three in offense, Josh Jacobs, Christian Watson, Jordan Love. Bottom three, Aaron Banks, Romeo Doubs, and Bo Melton. Top three on defense, Edgerrin Cooper, Evan Williams, and Keyshawn Nixon. Bottom three, Rashawn Gary, Isaiah McDuffie, and Carl Brooks. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Appreciate you guys a ton. I'll be back here tomorrow, pregame show. And then I'll be doing a live postgame show as well. Mike Wall later today with his film breakdown of the game. Make sure you're checking those out. You're not going to want to miss them. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle-Stinkel, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Gonzusa, Alexander Newell, Dan Miller, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, and Les Nino. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.